Garcia, 96.5 The Fan on an 8 o'clock hour on a Friday. Can't wait to get to the weekend, three-day weekend. Going to relax, have some fun. Adam Virant in studio with us today. Mr. Virant, how are you doing?
Great, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
No, thanks for coming in. We appreciate the time, what you guys do for the sport of baseball. I'm sure you've got tons that you can get into with the Savannah Bananas, but you're in Kansas City this weekend. What's that mean to you?
Oh, man. You know, growing up in Omaha, Nebraska, and playing baseball right down the street at Fort Scott, this means everything. I was telling you guys, I spent so much time in Kansas City playing baseball.
Yeah.
And, this is the Midwest. This is what I knew growing up, right? There's no internet when I grew up. I knew the Kansas City Royals, I knew the Omaha Royals, and I'm so fired up to come back here.
It sucks that it's going to rain all weekend. Do you guys play in the rain, or do you have like some kind of invention that you guys, because I've envisioned the banana umbrella where you guys just open this thing and now the stadium's a dome. Like, if anybody's going to do that, it's going to be you guys.
You know, I think that's on Jesse Cole's list of ideas.
It should
but,
be, yes.
You know, do we play in the rain? Absolutely. You know,
do, okay.
Whatever's normal, do the complete opposite.
Oh, wow. Okay, so because I'm sure fans are concerned, like, if it's supposed to be washed out all weekend, you guys are playing rain or shine.
Hey, as long as they let us on that field and play, we're playing.
Okay, awesome. So how did you get to the Bananas? How did this whole thing come together?
Yeah, great question.
Thank you.
I didn't know it was a comedy show, but I got to step it up.
So you got to wake the people up, man.
Absolutely. You know, played college baseball and wanted to, you know, make it to the big leagues. It didn't happen for me. So I went, I took the natural route and I went to law school because there was this cool movie in the theaters called Jerry Maguire.
He
made sports agents look really cool. And I was like, I want to look like Tom Cruise. And I figured that was the move. So I practiced law for about 10 years and hated every single second of it and needed a change. And so my father kind of drove me to coaching and teaching. And so I started coaching baseball in New York City. I helped create a baseball program called the Bulldog Ball Club.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I met a guy named Nate Fish. Nate Fish was coaching with Tyler Gillum, who's the head coach for the CPL team when the Bananas were up and running. And they had this idea to take the show on the road, take banana ball on the road, to figure out what they can do for the rest of the season when College Summer League wasn't playing. So they hired Nate as the head coach. He brought me along. And I literally showed up in Savannah. Nobody knew I was coming. I literally just was like, hey, I'm here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with everything Banana Land. I fell in love with Jesse Cole's passion and drive. I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the idea of bringing entertainment, infusing it with baseball, and putting on the greatest show in the world. And after that One City World Tour, which was in 2022.
One City World Tour.
Man, we went a long ways there. Absolutely.
Where'd you go? Savannah, was it?
No, we went to this beautiful destination called Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah.
I think they were the only stadium that would take us during that time.
So I'm glad you say that, because now you're filling out baseball stadiums.
And football stadiums.
And football stadiums. Like, what's that like when you go to a football stadium that seats 80,000 people and you know what you're doing, and it's impacting the entire, like, generation of kids, adults, everything?
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. When we played Clemson about 4 weeks ago, at mm-hmm. 81,000 fans. And, you know, growing up as a Husker football fan, you know, I had an idea what 80,000 fans look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until that
point.
Explain
to Husker fans today what that looks like, because they're not familiar with it.
I'll do that to him.
When we showed up to Clemson, we're like, how are we going to entertain 81,000 fans? How are we going to make the person who's in that top row have as good of an experience as somebody who's in the front row?
Right.
And so that's the big challenge that every single stadium we go to, especially the big ones, is how do we make sure that somebody has a great experience at a small venue, medium venue, but also those major, major ones? And, you know, we've adapted our show so much to the venues that we're playing in. It's kind of like a rock band. If you see Dave Matthews at a theater, it's a different show versus, you know, a huge festival. So
right.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying, but we've learned a lot. The one thing we do is we fail fast and adjust quickly. So
and you know, we're talking to Adam Virant. He's the director of baseball operations for the Savannah Bananas in town. And like, we could sit here and talk all day about how all of this gets started. But like, do you guys go in with a script to every show? How much is scripted? How much is natural? How much of it just comes to the players? And how much of it is like already pre-planned out?
Yeah, great question.
Thank you.
All of the second great question you've had today.
Thank you.
All the baseball is 100% real. Nothing scripted. Right. From a baseball standpoint. And like Tim Kirkchin told us, if the baseball is not good, this thing does not work. there is script from a show element things, right? If we're going to have some cool walk-ups that kind of lands on TikTok or current trend, that has to be scripted. It has to be performed and rehearsed. So how much is scripted? All of the entertainment elements are scripted because they have to be. Other than that, we have all that baseball that is 100% legit. And so, you know, we go through rehearsals, but our guys are so good at coming up with, you know, improv type of ideas. Think about it. It's a lot like Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a writer's room and there's ideas that are thrown around, and we want the players fully engaged in those ideas, because if they're doing something they don't want to do, they're not going to be able to throw their passion into it and then put on the greatest show for the fans. So, yeah, there's an element of scripting of the entertainment, but again, that baseball is legit.
How do you find that player that's an athlete and like a thespian all kind of wrapped up into one, or an athlete that's willing to do kind of that extra stuff?
Yeah, well, we have a scouting department no different than Major League Baseball. And we, Barry Aldridge, our director of recruiting, is scouring the country for, hey, this guy can play at a high level, but he also has a unique talent. And so if you want to come to one of our tryouts, which, by the way, we're having a tryout on Sunday, it's invite only. And as we go around the cities, we're trying to find the next greatest banana ball player. And so they have to submit an application. It's different, as you can imagine. We want to know your baseball skills, but we also want to know, what are you going to do differently on the baseball field that is going to make our fans remember you? So they have to submit, you know, a video and, hey, here's what I'm going to do if I play on one of your teams. And then they have to show up and do it. Our tryouts are amazing. It's half dance show at our tryouts and half baseball. And we start with Hey Baby, which is our dance, kind of we have our hands over our head. And you can imagine if you played baseball down in Kansas or Oklahoma, and the first thing you do at a banana ball tryout is dance. But it reveals everything, right? And what
totally
we tell,
agree.
What we tell them is, there's safety in numbers here, guys, right? Like, if you are not dancing, if you're not giving it your all, everybody's staring at you. You're sticking out like a sore thumb. So, you know, what we do is not easy. It's a lot of work. It's way different than baseball. So getting the right guy in the mix so they don't burn out. If they're doing things they don't want to do, they're going to burn out, and they're not going to like this.
Mm-hmm. Right. So some of your games you'll be seeing on ESPN, ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and stuff like that. You got an agreement with ESPN, 10 games plus 2 additional games as well this year. What's that mean to you?
That's everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a surprise that MLB and ESPN are not going to be continuing with their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know what those reasons are, but my bet is that it is an extension of people leaving the game of baseball and losing fans, right? Like, if nobody's tuning in to watch games on ESPN, there's probably no revenue dollars there. So what does it mean to us? It's just kind of a new chapter. It's a new challenge, because when we play on ESPN, we have 2 hours. All right. Very few baseball games can go, you know, shorter than 2 hours. So it's a big challenge for us to continue to push the pace on playing the most high impact, entertaining, fast baseball, different style of baseball that anybody's ever played. So it's a new challenge for us, but it also just means that there's people out there who really, truly support us, despite what the comments say. And, you know,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, who the hell cares what the comments say? Like, people spend too much time worrying about what people on social media are saying.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we learn a lot from what people are saying. Sure, like, the people who say, hey, this isn't real baseball, we say, you're exactly right. It's banana ball.
Right.
It's a different version of baseball. But, you know, we read everything because we learn from our fans. I don't stay up at night worrying about, you know, 96.5 fan for life, you know, saying, Coach Vire, you're stupid. I don't worry about that. But I do care about when people say, we went to Clemson and, man, that was a lot of people. I think that they could change the game a little bit this way so I could have a better experience. So we're learning. You know,
sure.
It's kind of a big comment box. But, you know, most of the people who say it's not real, or, hey, doing a backflip and catching a ball isn't hard. I'm like, cool, man. Let me see it.
Yeah.
Send me your video.
Nice pitch, a-hole, is one we read. I'm like, this guy probably couldn't throw 25 miles per hour. Do you lean into that? Like, do you embrace the hate as a team of fun that just completely can squash that when you sell out Raymond James Stadium?
Yeah. I think 3 years ago, we would kind of take it as like a chip on our shoulders,
sure,
a challenge. Nowadays, we know our guys are so confident in what we're doing. We really are. our man, we know that we're onto something here, and mm-hmm. we know that we're spreading joy and love mm-hmm. for families. And so, you know, we don't, those guys aren't, they're reading it and laughing, right? And
as they should,
but there are challenges, right? Like, we're only as good as our next game. So if people are like, seen it before, I've seen that trick play before. Okay, hey, you know what, Ryan Cox, time to recalibrate. Let's mm-hmm. do this. So, you know, there's a level of motivation that can come with it.
But there's also that stuff that people expect to see, you know, like when you go, I'm just trying to think of something off the top of my head. You go to a concert, you want to hear the top songs. Like, no matter how many times you've heard Living on a Prayer, when you go to a Bon Jovi concert, you want to hear that song, right? You've heard it 1,000 times, but you better hear that at the concert. Do you guys have things like that? Like, you've done this 1,000 times, like the guy on stilts or the bat on fire. Like, if you decided not to have that part of one of your shows, I think people would be upset about that kind of stuff.
Man, you nailed it. If stilts does not do anything in a game, if he doesn't hit or pitch, we will get mail. Jesse Cole will hear about it.
Yeah.
He, you know, Stilts is such an interesting thing because when he tried out 5 years ago, we were looking for the best baseball players around. We were trying to get the highest caliber of players to play this newfangled game that we had called Banana Ball. Our vision from a coaching standpoint wasn't, entertaining. That was Jesse's vision. We had a different task. So when Stilts came and tried out and said, hey, coach, I have Stilts and I ride a unicycle. Should I get those in the batter's box? And I'm like trying to coordinate 90 guys and trying to figure out what's going on here. And he ended up coming out and taking batting practice in his Stilts. And everybody was like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. We were going to cut him because he wasn't the best baseball player. And then Jesse's like, you need to see the vision here. This isn't just about playing baseball. This is about people seeing things and doing things on a baseball field nobody's ever done. So we put him on the team. And I can tell you that he is the most popular. Whenever Stilts is announced as coming out to pitch or hit, every single phone, I'm telling you, every single phone comes out in the stadium and they're just, you hear a gasp. So if he doesn't play, we'll hear about it. But, you know, trick plays, people want to see trick plays. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to see that. But they also want to see these entertainment elements that have made us who we are. So there's things that happen on every single game. Banana Baby, where we anoint the next Banana Baby. We do Hey Baby. We do a Yellow by Coldplay as our kind of like seventh inning
stretch.
That
was the last song I heard driving in today. That's weird.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. So there are these kind of staples that we do every single game. Mm-hmm. But there's also beauty in the magic about what we don't know is going to happen. And that's exciting.
So who's like a guy, because you played baseball growing up and through college, like who's a guy that when they're on, like, because we always bring up the topic that George Brett told us, like when Bobby Witt Jr.'s up, he doesn't go take a piss. He just stays and watches. He'll hold it. Mm. Who's the guy that everybody, I mean, you mentioned Stilts, but who's the guy for you that you're like, this could be special. I want to see how this gets 80,000 people to react.
Man, Coach Rack, Robert Anthony Cruz, mm-hmm. He's been with us for 2 years. This guy is truly amazing. He's taken the world by storm on socials. Mm-hmm. He's like captured. He is the voice of youth sports now. You know, we hear where's Coach Rack about 50,000 times every single game. But that dude is so good at baseball. Played in the Washington Nationals organization. But anytime he comes to bat, something great could happen. Mm-hmm. He can destroy baseballs. But he's also one of the most entertaining, talented players that we have. He did gymnastics, so there's always some sort of element of acrobat in everything he does.
Wow.
And he just crushes it. He absolutely crushes it. He's kind of one of those guys where like Derek Jeter back in the Yankee days, it's like, oh man, magic's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So Coach Rack does that. But honestly, we have anybody in our starting lineups are phenomenal. D.R. Meadows, our backflipping center fielder, is no regard for his own safety and health when he's throwing his body all over the place. You know, that guy can pull out anything at any time. Eric Jones at first base. I mean, Bill Leroy behind the dish. These guys are truly talented. They're the most talented players I've ever seen on a baseball field. And it's just not my opinion. We had former big leaguers who join us who say, I wouldn't be able to do that. I can't do that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you never know what you're going to see.
What do you guys have planned in Kansas City? I assume you tailor make everything for where you're going to be and have surprises, right?
Taylor Swift's going to be there?
I hope so. Oh, you're getting Taylor Swift out there? That's awesome. He kind of looked at you like, how did you know?
I wish.
There's a kind of a silence here.
There's a kind of a silence. Taylor Swift, if I tell you all the secrets, then we're going to ruin it.
Yeah.
But we do take into consideration the city we're in. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have if there's a special guest there that the city embraces, mm-hmm. you know, we might try to get them to come there. Yeah, we really want to just, like you mentioned about the shows, like a concert, everybody wants to see the bangers, right? Our special guests and our entertainment, man, we want people to leave Kansas City. We want people to leave Clemson and say, wow, that was very thoughtful. I can't believe they did the hill run. I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they did this. And like that's one thing why our show is so unique. Unlike the Harlem Globetrotters are amazing. We get so many comparisons to them.
Of course.
But they did the same show pretty much over and over again. We adapt. We do about 25 different things in every single show from an entertainment standpoint or whatever it may be, because it needs to stay fresh.
Right.
Right? We don't want to become, oh, I saw it once, I don't need to see it again. And so, ooh, they did this in Kansas City. What are they going to do in Anaheim? What are they going to do in, you know, Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we need to constantly adjust, because we know that, hey, we can't become obsolete. We can't become boring. But that motivates us right there.
How much easier, you mentioned bringing people that are connected to the city, right? When you guys first started this, I'm sure you called up and said, hey, we're the Savannah Bananas. Can so-and-so come join us from the Chiefs? And they're like, click. Now I'm sure you have these people calling you, right? Like Mahomes is probably calling you and go, hey, can I be part of this thing, you know?
Yeah, for the record, Mahomes has not called. We're still waiting.
Okay. Mm.
But he may call. My phone is on.
It's on? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, early on, Jake Peavy was the first one. From Mobile, Alabama, who reached out to us, mm-hmm. of all people.
Wow. Right?
And he was like, I love what you're doing. We're like, thank you. You know who we are. Nowadays, a little bit easier. We talk to the organizations today and ask them, who do you want to celebrate? Who do you want to bring back? And it has to work, though. These players, they have to want to do this, mm-hmm. because, you know, if they're all in, then they're gonna create unforgettable moments for their fans.
So speaking of unforgettable moments for fans, Johnny Gomes gave a pretty epic speech in Kansas City when they won the World Series. He also did some banana ball. How was that experience?
Johnny was amazing.
He's perfect for banana ball, isn't he?
He's perfect. He's perfect. There's a lot of crazy perfect people out there for banana ball. Love you, Johnny. He joined us 3 years ago when we played the Kansas City Monarchs. Mm-hmm. Came running in with a flag, and he's perfect for this.
Yeah.
And, growing up and as a Kansas City Royals fan, seeing him in the Royals uniform, that was more special, you know, to me. But yeah, I mean, these guys are all in, and then they tell about their friends about their experiences, and we get to do some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. Adam Virant is with us. He's the director of baseball operations for the Savannah Bananas. And you also have a connection, like more so than anybody, I would imagine, to mostly everybody in the Royals front office right now. Like Dayton Moore recruited you to go to George Mason University. And then you battled Q out for player of the year or whatever, and he kicked your ass, I guess, is the long short of it.
I don't think that's,
you lost to a man who was injured.
Where'd you play baseball at?
I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I so grew up in Omaha, and I played baseball right down the street at Fort Scott Junior College. And coming out of there, we had a connection to George Mason. Dayton Moore recruited me, mm-hmm. and I ended up going there, but he then left. I don't know what I said to him, but he went and joined with the Braves.
Right.
At the same time, J.J. Piccolo also was recruiting me at George Washington. And,
a lot of
G's, right? And then, and then Quintero beat me out. I mean, he didn't even play the entire season. That's how bad I was.
You know? Or maybe that's how good he was.
I don't know.
Because what level was that?
That was D1.
Yeah. That's when he peaked. I love you, Matt. You know that.
One thing I want to go back to, because I think it's interesting. You guys went on a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like? Because that seems like, sign me up. If you do it again, I don't know if I'll make it the whole way, but I mean, I'm down for something like this.
Well, we are doing the cruise again next February.
February, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that was actually an amazing experience. It was really interesting because it was at the end of our season. Our tour is long. And the last, you know, guys just want to get done with things. Yeah. So it was the last thing we did. And I know that going into it.
So you end in February?
The upcoming cruise is going to be in February for next year. We did that last one in October.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so last year we ended it. And you know, a lot of guys didn't want to do it. Well, I don't want to say they want to do it, but they weren't thrilled about it because it was a long season. Now they're going to go on a cruise with 3,000 fans, mm-hmm. and they just want to start the recovery process. I can tell you after the first 6 hours of being on that boat, every single guy was so fired up to be there.
Oh, wow.
We had literally the best time. I'm telling you, I'm not just trying to market this thing. That cruise was one of the coolest things and experiences that we could provide for our fans.
Believe it.
Unbelievable.
What you happened know? That like had that switch flipped?
Stilts
like,
got hammered and got on the stilts.
Unbelievable.
I would love that.
But, because we all, like, it's human nature. Sometimes you go into things, you're like, I'm dreading this. I don't want to do that. And to have everybody flip that fast, like, that's crazy to me. What did you guys do to have that switch flipped?
We love our fans. We truly do. The name of our organization is Fans First Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And every single guy that's in our organization, they are here for the fans. We don't exist but for the fans. And so every decision we make, we ask, is this best for the fans? We want to put on a cruise. We wanted to put on a really unique experience. Emily Cole, Jesse's wife and co-owner, put this together. And man, it was amazing. Just the outpouring of love from those fans that decided to sign up and be on a boat with us for five days. We had amazing entertainment. We had hundreds of different activities. We ran trick play competitions for kids. We did coffee and thoughts in the morning with the coaches where you could just sit. Awesome. I mean, we put on a Broadway level show with all the players. It was truly amazing.
But you
guys
do that every night too in different cities. Like, I don't think people appreciate exactly what, that's why I keep like prying you, like, how does this all come together? Because I'm amazed by what you guys do. Because Broadway, no knock on Broadway, because I'm a huge Broadway fan. It's the same show every night.
Correct.
You guys are changing it up constantly. Like, it's remarkable to me.
It is remarkable. The team that we have working for us is absolutely incredible. Zach Frangelo, our director of entertainment, can understand Jesse's vision and make it become reality. And Jesse, again, Jesse's incredible. If he's listening to this, he's going to hate this, but one of the most truly remarkable people I've ever been around. Not just because he signs my paycheck, but truly remarkable. Mm-hmm. He wakes up every day and he has idea sessions and he writes down whatever's on his mind about how can we make things better. He's always looking to make things better for the fans. Yeah. And so, you know, Jesse, Tyler Gillum, you know, our head coach, like Kara, everybody is pulling the rope the same direction. Everybody, and it's super powerful when that happens.
It sounds utopic. It really does, because you would wish every organization was like that, not just in sports, but just in general, where everybody's working for that same common goal all the time, and it doesn't seem like there's any agendas, and everybody's like, and Jesse, you keep mentioning the founder of this thing, like, I've been reading a lot about him since this whole thing started. Guy's brilliant. I mean, brilliant to come up with stuff like this.
Man, that guy works so hard, and he's so wickedly funny, and yeah, it's really powerful to have a whole bunch of people in the room and they're like, here's where we're going, and we are all in alignment. We disagree, mm-hmm. but it's respectful, and it's all for the purpose of, hey, put on the best show for the fans. That's truly it. And so, yeah, I mean, we're fired up to do it here in KC, man.
So as we wrap up this interview, I have one request for you is, can you somehow get MLB to incorporate the rule of the foul ball and the fan catches the guys out? That's the greatest rule.
Great rule. Love it.
It's the greatest rule in all of sports ever.
Literally, it's involvement. Yeah. It works. It's a disadvantage to somebody. It's an advantage to somebody else. And you have to pay attention.
You have to pay attention. Yeah. I have no impact on what MLB does.
I wish you did.
Yeah, but you're getting rules. I mean, it's kind of like the XFL and NFL. You know, the NFL's looking at the XFL, stealing ideas from them, you know, the cameras and stuff like that. Maybe baseball steals some stuff from you guys.
Yeah, we're not competing. We're all in this for the same reason, to really grow this game.
Yeah, and you guys have done an amazing job. It's remarkable. I love every minute. Every time I see it, I'm just like, wow, these guys are just amazing, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
No, we appreciate the time. We appreciate what you're doing for the sport of baseball, especially for me, a baseball connoisseur. I wish I had this when I was a kid, because I know I'd try to go, even though it's almost impossible because of how good and what a show you guys are putting on. So, Adam, thank you very much for the time, and good luck with Kansas City this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.